Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I believe that Mr. Matt Derrido, we missed him on Monday. It was a very sad day. We lamented for many, many. I mean, there was a pretty, Jake will tell you, we stood there and felt the sting of a dear friend letting you down.
It's like being stood up.
There was a lot of sadness.
It's like getting ghosted by the perfect set of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the days in high school when you dated a girl and wanted to go out and whatever, and you would stare at the phone waiting for her to call back, and she, that beautiful girl, would just never call.
Or the you were maybe going to get invited to that super cool party.
Yeah.
And all the cool people were going to be there, and you stood there out in the yard waiting for your ride.
Yep.
Never came. Yep.
Dorito 2. The Redemption.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry, man.
How you doing, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, buddy. I totally missed you on Monday. I had an alarm set on my phone and reminders, but I had my head in the machine trying to fix something that was down, and you know, looked up. Next thing I knew, I all these missed calls and alarms and stuff, and I was like, man.
It's not
like a half hour too late.
No, it's fine. But I did Jake share with you that Satchel from Steel Panther had missed a show, and he sent us a beautiful apology song?
Yeah, he did. He told me all about that. So I don't know. I'm not much of a songwriter.
Hold on. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good, man. It's like just,
I'm sorry I missed the show yesterday. I was stoned and I forgot. I know it's really rude, but I'm gonna make it up to Johnny Dare right now. I'm doing today's show totally nude. When this pandemic started, my pants were first to go. Lucky for your audience, it's only radio 98.9.
Oh my gosh, that's so much better than me, dude. He missed it because he was stoned, and then he did the show nude. Are you kidding me?
I know, it's hard to beat that. I know. It's
like a torpedo, can't beat it.
So you were, I've been looking at these guns, man. I'm just still so out of control. We'll get to that in a minute with Cabot, but I just really went in depth on all of the custom ones, and it's just absurd. It's absurd, the quality. I've never seen anything like it.
Dude, it's ridiculous, man. And, you know, I'm not saying that to boost myself. It's like a lot of, you know, what these guys have built over the years, and, you know, I've been happy to be, like, a part of it. And now the big thing is, like, okay, how do you raise the quantity and keep the quality? You know, we went from making, you know, 150 guns a year, maybe, to, you know, now we're looking at like 800 guns a year. So,
yeah, no, who knows?
You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's really low. Like, those are super low numbers compared to the rest of the firearms industry, you know.
Sure, of course.
Not like, you know, Smith & Wesson or Glock or something like that, but like, But for what we do, it's all, you know, there's craftsmanship in it. You know,
this is the difference between Ferraris and Corvettes. This difference between, you know, Lamborghinis and Mustangs. You know, Mustang is a great car, super fast, completely fantastic in its own way, but it's not a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? It's not your, this is not your everyday driver.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
But we'll get back to that. Let's talk about music. The Let the Chaos Reign. Great. Just fantastic, dude. That's a, it's a, it's got a little Chuck D in it, man. It's just got some, it's got some great hump to it. I thought it was fantastic.
Awesome. Thanks, man. A little ode to the old school there.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of getting back to some roots. And man, dude, I'm super stoked for you guys to hear the rest of the album too, because we got a couple bangers on there that we haven't even really leaked yet or anything that I'm excited about even more than what we got now. But yeah, got a new music video out for the other single. You know, we dropped
for work,
two songs, and dude, it's so strange, man.
Sure.
You know, to like release new music and not be able to go out and perform it. Usually those two go hand in hand. You know, it's like, man, we got a new record, we got new songs, let's come out, let's play them for you, let's all get down and learn them together.
Yeah, well, everybody gets energized, right? You have new music, which is always exciting because people don't know. Of course, you have favorite songs from different albums, but when you're on tour and you've got the same set list for a year, year and a half as you go through the cycle, you're really happy to bring new music. Not that the old music isn't great, but as a musician, you're excited. So now you've got this great baby you want to show the world. You're like, this is going to be the one. This one's going to be the president. You know what I mean? Like, you're really excited, and you cannot... You can't really release it because you can't follow up with playing live.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just all a bunch of foreplay at this point.
Yeah, it really is, man. You're definitely at best. You can only go to second. You can go under the shirt, but probably over the bra. That's where we're at with pandemic.
Yeah, under the shirt, over the bra.
Yeah.
You just nailed it. That sums it up.
Yeah,
it's
got to be crazy. Is this the longest you've ever gone as an adult, or since you started playing without doing a show?
Absolutely. Yep. It absolutely is, man. Prior to this, I mean, the only time that I'd have off or, you know, in one spot or not playing a show would be when we do an album. I mean, that's like max 3 months, you know, typically like two. And even still, I'm playing music every day, you know, and sometimes we take off in the middle of recording an album and do, you know, like 2 weeks worth of shows and then go back at it in the studio. But yeah, it's definitely weird. Tell you what though, man, like, you know, doing what I'm doing every day now, you know, getting up, working, doing the shop gig and building guns. I don't really get out and see a lot of people like where I'm at, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
Everything's closed anyway, but I had something really cool happen, yesterday. In fact, I took a peek out cause we're, you know, tucked away in like an industrial park and stuff. And I look out the door and I see this like taco truck. I'm like, oh man, the guys across the way, the welding shop across the street, They got a taco truck, food truck to cater to the company.
Great.
So I was like, I'm going to go over there, get me some tacos. And I wander over and I'm like, hey, can I, you know, I know you're here for the company, but can I buy some tacos? They're like, yeah, no problem. And, this kid comes up to me, probably, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. And he's like, hey man, you're Matt, right? I saw you play on Rock on the Range. And then I saw you with, you know, Disturbed and Rob Zombie. And I saw you, you know, do all these concerts. I'm like, yeah, man, but I'm just building guns across the street, you know. Like, I don't know. It was really because I hadn't had that kind of an interaction,
sure, man,
with anyone.
But
and
I'll bet you make a new friend now. Guess who's coming by at lunch to say hey? Yeah,
yeah. He's like, if you ever need anything welded up, just come across the street, man. I'll hook you up. I'm like, well, you know,
appreciate
that, but I not so bad at welding myself. Okay. I dabble.
Yeah. No, you're great. Look, your fabrication, I told you, my welding skills are rudimentary at best, but I'm getting a little more time on it. And we built all those tables, those bowling alley tables when I harvested that 1958 bowling alley. And I learned, like, I've got friends who are really, really smooth and really, that's such an art. To have the hand, the right machine, the right timing, the right pressure, everything that goes along, and it's so good. When you see someone do it effortlessly, it pisses me off.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, and I'm telling you, man, I'm not there. I'm nowhere near there. I know enough to, like, make safe welds when they need
right.
when they need to be sturdy, and I know how to cover my mistakes. I know what I can get away with and make it look good. You know what I mean?
I just grind it off until you can't tell how bad the weld was.
Yeah, man, I'm better with a file than I am with a welder. But.
Yeah, it really
is. A little filing.
Those guys you can see would do the perfectly symmetrical waves in the weld. I'm like, who does that? It's just,
right.
It's irritating. But, you know, there's something, we've talked about this, like you with building the guns and being off with Pop Evil right now. You guys have the album and you're definitely going to tour in 21, if not sooner. But, you know, you never know where life takes you, right? So you've been that guy who is a learner and a constant grower. So you're an armor. You can build custom guns. You can fabricate motorcycles. You can, and that leads you to 1,000 other potential places as long as you're willing to say yes and walk through the door.
Man, you know, and that's something for like the generation coming up to going into skills or trades of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't matter what you want to do with your life, but if you've got a skill or a trade under your belt, you can use that in so many different ways. Like, I mean, you know, like obviously I wanted to take my life in the direction of music, pursuit a music career, but I've got certain trades and stuff under my belt to where like, hey, pandemic happens, let's go, you know, put some of those to use. And I've got work, you know, or if you learn a skill that you really enjoy or a trade, like,
yeah,
I mean, you're always going to be able to find happiness. If that's something that you enjoy and you can get good at and work at over time, it doesn't matter if you do it as a job or as a hobby, like you'll always find new ways to like keep yourself busy and stay happy, I think. You know, like
there's no doubt
to tinker with.
Listen.
And maybe that's just me, but you know.
No, you nailed it. It's look, my old man, you know, he did the birth, school, work, death thing and just he was raised in Memphis, joined the military, came out, found a wife, made some kids, went to work, and he never I don't think he ever loved what he did for a living. He loved our family and he still loves our family, but he's not gone. But that thing that, you know, that just getting in the line, marching in step to that's the way you were taught. That's the way it has to be. And I think there was probably a lot of things my old man wanted to do that he didn't take the time to learn because he thought there was some kind of a time frame that you're supposed to live on. And yeah. It always bummed me out for him because, I mean, he worked his ass off and he was one of those guys who could fix anything. Like we were poor enough. And I wouldn't use the word poor, but we weren't well enough to do what we could replace things. So if the refrigerator went down, he fixed it. Washing machines, cars, dryers, the furnace, the roof, the walls. Like, if it was broken, he'd go down there and cuss it until it just gave up and let him fix it.
Yeah.
And you have to, but you really, anybody, go figure out what you like doing and then figure out how to make money. You'll do it, but don't, you know, there's a difference between loving working and having a skill and having to go work for some dick you hate and 8 hours is like 24.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I tell you what, man, it's funny. You mentioned your dad. My dad, same kind of thing, man. He had two kids before he was out of high school, me and my sister, and he's worked the same job that he had in high school. Like he's, you know, gone up through the company and everything like that, but worked for, you know, Brunswick Bowling. Like he started out as a pin chaser in a bowling alley and then moved up to a mechanic and then, you know, did this and that and then took us to Michigan to corporate headquarters. So he's worked for the same company. And when this whole quarantine thing happened, he got furloughed. And for the past 3.5-4 months, like he has not gotten up and gone to his job. And he's worked for the same company since high school. So this is the first time in his life he's been able to do what he wants. And it makes me so happy, man. Because, like, he'll send me pictures and be like, oh, I went out fishing this morning. And then, you know,
so he's not lost.
A little later. So I went out on a boat and, you know, did some more fishing. And I just get these pictures of my dad with this smile that I've never seen before.
Oh, it's great to hear. Know? See, because I always worry about guys. I worry that some guys are so, for lack of a better word, institutionalized, you know? It's like, you know, Brooks was here, right? You get out and, you're free and then you don't know what to do with yourself. So I'm glad that that he found his thing to make him happy because purpose, man, you have to have purpose. Otherwise, this is a lonely world without purpose.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah, when I bought the land 4 years ago, I realized I was ashamed of myself because I'd gotten to a place with radio you know, before this, I was a paramedic and I worked at record stores and I was going to be a fireman and all these things. And you had fun. And I love radio, but I realized there was a lot of things I was pretty bad at. I couldn't run a skid steer. I didn't know how to build a road. We had to learn how to do stuff and build buildings and change the way the land would be shaped. And so I started hanging out with all these great guys that really showed me how to be a little more, you know, capable of doing something, not instead of having to hire it out.
Yeah.
And it's fulfilling. It really is. It's hard to explain to somebody, but it's been an incredibly good thing for my noggin.
That is awesome. And you should never be embarrassed of what you don't know. I mean, just not knowing something is, you never learned it. But taking the initiative and saying, man, I want to learn how to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to surround myself with, you know, good people and the right kind of people that can help me, you know, round out my skill sets.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah, no, and then you meet really good cats. You also learn things on your own, like, hey, man, never start a fire pile with gasoline instead of diesel. It's a bad idea.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's if you're just joining the show, Matt DeRito's with us. And Matt, I don't know how much time you have. I just always forget that you're in the middle of another job at Cabot. None of the Pop Evil's coming out. Did they name the record yet? Did you guys name it? Or are we talking about? That's fine if we're not. I was talking to Jake today. I go, I don't know the album title.
You know what? I think it's been thrown out there, and I don't think anything's officially been said, but I believe we're calling it Versatile.
Nice. Nice.
So if I'm wrong, I apologize. If I'm right, then you're probably the first to hear it.
Yeah, very good. Well, I was saying earlier, everybody in this band is very different, and they're all part of something that comes together to make great songs. Like you and Lee, and I love Lee. He's as cool as the other side of the pillow, but you're definitely different kind of guys.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's a sports guy, you know, and like he grew up with a background and, you know, playing basketball, playing football, doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up with four strings in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of different. Like music was always my first love and sports was his. But it's still like deeply ingrained in him as
sure.
You know, like music is with me and stuff too. And yeah, definitely different guys, but like, you know, it's amazing how much having that common ground will bring you together over the years.
Well, and let me tell you, I'm watching this Guns N' Roses documentary the other day, and they were talking about how Duff came from that Seattle punk rock situation, the world, and then, you know, what Slash was really into and what Axl was really into and what Izzy was really into. And so, but it was all so different, but the common thread that came through it, and that's what made that band so very good. And there was this huge discussion of this documentary, and I realized when I was talking to Jake the other day about you guys that it's very similar that way. Like the intensity that Lee Kikade brings is definitely sports-like. He definitely attacks this world from that gridiron mindset, but in a musical way. And you know, it's again, that's how the magic happens. We've all seen why supergroups don't work. You'll put these things together and you just go, well, on paper, it looked good. And then the album's like, it's kind of lame. There's no real recipe for it. You just find it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's so hard to find a dynamic that works, you know, and that works right. And you're lucky to find it once in a lifetime. And I think that's why a lot of, you know, solo artists, like their deal doesn't necessarily work, or super groups don't typically work, because, you know, it's like there's just that unknown factor, that X factor that, like,
yeah, no, that's it.
If you could put your finger on it, people would be able to duplicate it, right? But you can't. So,
dude, and the odds. Yeah, no, it's just like forming a band. You don't know. All you can do is go from your gut and hope it works and somebody likes it.
Yep.
I mean, when you got asked to join Pop Evil, were you unsure or did you know?
You know what? To be honest with you, I was unsure. And like when I joined Pop Evil, we were doing covers. You know, we were doing like cover sets at bars, and I was always like a metalhead, like through and through metalhead.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to do cover songs ever. But having been in metal bands my entire, you know, life up until that point, we'd play maybe three shows a year. You know, we'd practice two or three times a week, and play like three shows a year. So there wasn't like a really great payoff for me. And when I first got into Pop Evil, it was like, okay, well, you know, they do a bunch of cover songs and, you know, we're going to start working on originals, but at least I get to play and perform in front of people. Like, even if it's not my music, I get to go out and like play music. So I'll do it for a while and see what happens. And then the beauty of it is like it grew and evolved. And, you know, once we got all the players in, you know, started writing music and stuff like that, it was like, okay, I think we actually got something here.
Yeah. You know, it happens that way, man. The friendships we make along the way are a lot of times ones you would never have thought were going to go that way. And they become the ones that last the very longest and actually produce the most fruit and are the best things. Well, speaking of relationships, by the way, so this has got to be the longest time you've been home with your girl in maybe ever.
Yeah. Well, shoot, man. Actually, we split up.
Oh, God damn it.
At the end of January.
Come
All
on.
Good, though. Like,
Come
I mean, on, you know, she lives out in California, and you know, I'm a Midwest boy, so that's just kind of what it came down to. Still one of my best friends, but
I swear, I saw a picture of you and posted in the last 3 months. I swear to you, I thought you'd put some pictures up or something. So,
wow. I don't know. I don't think I posted anything recently. Or
any
just,
any other personal tragedies that you'd like me to ask about? I mean,
yeah, there's one time when I was a kid, man, I fell down, I busted my knee real bad.
At least it was fell down, and my uncle didn't touch my bad zone, you know. Jesus,
no,
oh, that sucks,
you know,
man.
No, I didn't want to move to California. You know, like I just. It's not in my DNA to live in California, so that was kind of the end of that. But
listen, you'd have gone crazy. You'd have beaten somebody up at the very – and you're a sweet cat. You're like, you're not an aggressive guy. But that town in Los Angeles, you would have just snatched some guy just out. It would have been awful.
It brings the worst out of me, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
certainly. Like, it's one of those places where, like, I loved going there to visit her and stay with her. But if we had to go – you know, leave the house ever, you know, I felt on edge the whole time.
Well, what's like, more fun than sitting in a restaurant and having the second the door opens, everybody looks past you to see if there's a more important person coming in.
Yeah. That's kind of it, man.
Yeah. No, I 3 days and I have to do dumb touristy stuff to stay happy. I'm like down to Venice, visit some friends, go to the Rainbow, go over to Universal Studios and then go home.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I can't talk to the locals. It'll make you want to start slapping people.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man.
I'm sorry though that you know. Well, again, if anything else has happened tragically, you might want to text me, and I'll just stay away from those before we do an interview. You know,
man.
And poor you. And here's what I really feel bad for you is if. You know, I mean, how are you ever going to meet another girl? I mean, you're terrible looking. You're not cool. Nobody likes you. If, you know, it's not like you're ever going to get to go out and, you know, play in a rock and roll band in front of millions and millions of people for the rest of your life. I mean, and as a rule, I find that girls don't find you particularly attractive. That's got to be depressing.
You're like a broken record, dude. This is what I keep telling myself every day. It's like you're right in my psyche.
Yeah, no, dude, and try to get in shape. Try to get in shape, will you? Will you just try?
That's kind of funny, actually, man, because I got this theory about, like, how rocker dudes meet girls. Because I'm kind of at a loss, right? Like, I don't drink. I don't go out and party after the shows. I don't do any of that stuff. So, but even still, like, everyone thinks, like, man, it's got to be so easy to meet chicks. You're in a band. But if you're really talking about, like, the kind of chick that you want to bring home to mom, right?
Right.
So let's say you play a show in front of 2,000 people. Let's say you're headlining the show. If you look out and you see maybe 20 chicks in the audience,
right,
let's just say, that you would want to approach maybe and have a conversation with,
right,
chances are probably 15 of them came with their boyfriend or husband, right?
Right.
Okay, so of the five left, four of them are not going to stick around and wait on you to try to meet you after
right.
the show.
Right.
Like, show's done, they're gone, they're not waiting around on you. They want to be waited on.
Sure.
Of that one girl that might be left, that could be single, that might wait around to talk to you, that's semi-attractive, if she waits around for you after the show, the chances are she's probably done that more than once.
<That's> exactly. Right. Well, she's like, oh, my God, I know Josh Todd from Buckcherry. Yeah.
So this is my theory, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Like, how do you meet a girl on the road? You don't really, because she knows everything about you in the fact that, like, she knows you are up on stage. She's got this idea of who you are, what your life is, and you know nothing about them. And if they do stick around and you have the opportunity to talk to them, your buddies have probably talked to her at some point, you know, in the past before when they came.
Right, right. Of course. So, no, it's hard. And I don't know if you're like me. Like, I can't. I'm so terrified of rejection in my own way. Like, I've never approached a girl ever. I have no game. The way I met my girl, I literally sat next to her on an airplane. And a year later, she emailed me, and I thought she wanted something like concert tickets. I was like, oh, hey, I remember you. You're real nice. And she started to email me until I got weirded out and then text her. And I didn't even call her for 3 months.
That's awesome.
I thought
I'm right there with you.
There's no way she liked. I thought there's no way this girl likes me. There's just no way this girl likes me.
Well, because you don't want to be the guy that assumes that she likes you, and then you come off creepy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm terrified.
I was single for, you know, almost 5 years before I dated my last girlfriend. And when we met, she did the whole, like, you know, slide into my DMs thing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, this woman I'd never met before. She didn't know anything about my band or anything like that. Like, she actually saw a post about my charity. She commented on that. She replied to that. And she was, like, interested in hooking me up with people that she knew that could help get me some traction. So, like, the whole start of our relationship was just, like, there was nothing romantic about it. It was, hey, you know, I want to introduce you to these people. We can get you an interview to, you know, help promote your charity. And we went back and forth like that for a while before we ever hinted at anything romantic with each other. And, you know, I wasn't going to be a creep. I didn't know if she had a boyfriend or a husband or anything like that. But
because even if you ask, it feels creepy.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't. I don't have any. I have none. It got to the point where I got a racy photograph from her. Like, that's the one I went, okay, well, that's good in the right direction. before I was like, maybe. I could tell you.
You hit her back. You're like, did you mean to send that to me?
Yeah, no, it's very much like that. It's so it is tough for everybody, but I think you're going to be okay, man. You're an interesting cat, and I think that you know, you're just going to have, this thing's going to have to get over before the pandemic. Once it's over, you can go back out in the world, meet people. You know, I'm sure that you know, there's a nice girl somewhere in a church near you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm convinced that, like, I'm gonna meet a girl in a pumpkin patch someday. Like, that'll be the story. Yeah, it was in a pumpkin patch, you know. I got
picking
up these rotten pumpkins, and this girl comes along with the perfect pumpkin, and you know, she's like, "This could be our pumpkin." I'm like, all right, let's poke holes in it. You know, that's gonna be the story,
right? Oh, I got you, man. I got you. Listen, hopefully this stuff gets over. We'll get to go for a ride. I still at some point want to get together and I want to build a gun. I gotta figure out, man. I looked at everything and I was like, they're incredible. I'm definitely not in the range of the individual guns, but I wanna build a gun with you, man.
Okay.
I'm working on a theme.
Are you doing a loop this year? You riding out to Sturgis? You going on a crazy trip?
Not doing Sturgis. We're going to push the ride to September to see how everything works out. Unfortunately, in another tragic note, Barger is sick, and he's got cancer.
Oh.
And so he's still coming to work every day, and he's doing fine, but it's untreatable, and I just don't want to leave him. And so I've always promised him, no matter what, I'll always be here. And so while he's still here with me, I'm going to hold off on taking the trip. But it's so maybe September. We'll see. Hopefully, I don't take that trip, to be honest. And
yeah,
it's tough, man. You know, it's just, this is 2020 is no good. 2020 is no good.
Yeah,
we'll get there. Wow. I look good, just
man,
like
I'm sorry to hear that.
well, you know, this is, I've gotten almost 17 years of friendship out of it. It's just, it's, it is what it is, you know. It's, but it'll be, it'll pass, and we'll get back out there. And again, the good, when it's, the one thing to remind everybody, when it's raining, it'll stop raining eventually, they say. You know, the sun comes back out, and it's a perfect 77 sunny day, and you're, you know, ripping down the highway somewhere with perfect landscape. It's all coming again.
Yeah, it's like a quote from my favorite movie, The Crow, man. Can't rain all the time.
That's it. That's exactly it. And my second favorite quote is like, God hates me. He goes, well, hate him back. That's what I do. Hey, man, you are Matt DeRito, man. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for letting us take up your time. And I know you're busy. You got your gig and diet. But, man, I really do love looking at those guns. I'm going to ask you later on off air. I want to know which ones you worked on, because I was trying to, in my head, I was thinking, man, I wonder what he did on each one of these or what he's been doing. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'd be more than happy to fill you in, dude. But sorry I missed you Monday, dude. And thanks for having me back on for the redemption.
You're a good cat. You're a great cat, actually, man. You take care, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.